Hi, how are you?
Good.
I'm calling from West Texas. Thank you for taking my call.
Sure.
I've been listening to the show for a long time, and I live in an old house, and I feel like we've been having some kind of experiences over the past 7 years, but I don't feel particularly threatened by it, but it's just kind of eerie, and I think it started the first week I was in the house. I was alone in the house one morning. My children were at school. My wife was at work. I woke up about 10 in the morning, and there was a lot of thumping in the room above me. It sounded like actually furniture was being moved or something was thumping. It was my son's room. So I went upstairs, and I went in the room. There was absolutely nothing out of place. Everything was normal. I checked all the other three bedrooms. I checked the bathroom. There was a cat in my daughter's room that was on the bed, and perfectly still and warm, hadn't been moving, it didn't look like. So it kind of freaked me out, but I didn't really think of it. But over the years, my mother's experienced noises on the stairs when she stayed. A housekeeper's heard noises. And the really scary part, I guess, was my son, who's now 10. About 3 years ago, we spent the summer away on the East Coast. We came back, and I was sitting in the living room one day just petting my dog, who was lying on my lap and reading a book. And my son came over, and he was about, 6 years old at the time, and he said, "Daddy, I have a new friend." And I said, "Oh, wow. Well, is he a new boy at your school?" And he goes to a private school with like 6 kids in his class, so I know all the kids in his school. And he said,
"Yeah."
"No, he doesn't go to school." And I said, "Well, where did you meet him?" And he said, "Well, do you remember when we were staying on the East Coast and you took me out on the lake in the boat?" And I said, "Yeah." And he said, "I met him that day." And I said, "Really? Well, what's his name?" And he said, "Victor." And I said, "Well, I don't remember meeting Victor. What does he look like?" And he said, "Oh, he's about this height, and he has brown hair and brown eyes, and he has a dog." And I said, "Oh, really?" And I said, "Well, did he live in the neighborhood?" And he said, "No, he lived in the lake." And I said, "He lived in the lake." And he said,
"Uh-oh."
"Yeah." And I said, "Does his dog live in the lake, too?" And I laughed, and he said, "No." And he said, "He has a sister." And I said, "Well, does his sister live in the lake?" And he said, "No, she still lives with his mommy and daddy." And I said, "Well," and I picked my book back up because I thought he was just kind of joshing me. And I said, "Well, poor Victor, he must be very wet and lonely living in a lake by himself." And Winston said, "Well, he doesn't live there anymore. He lives in my room. Do you want to meet him?" And I said, "Sure." So he goes upstairs, and he comes back downstairs, and he said, "Here he is," you know, and he just gestured at nothing. And my dog lifted his head up out of my lap and started growling. And he never growls, or he's never aggressive towards my son or anyone else. And about 2 weeks after that, my son quit sleeping in his room. He said he came downstairs crying, and he said he heard noises. He said he heard breathing. And he would not sleep in his room. And he had not slept in his room for about 3 years. This is the first year I got him to go back and sleep in his room. And he's 10 years old now. And the thing that really kind of just the cherry on the top of everything was I place foreign exchange students, and I've had foreign exchange students in the house who've actually seen things and heard noises and stuff too. But one of the families that I placed a student with came by to fill out some paperwork, and it was a young woman and her older husband, and the husband was in his mid-40s, and he came in and he said, "Dude, I used to live in your house." And he had a funny expression on his face, and I said, "Really? Well," and the very first thing he said to me, George, was, he said, "Do you have any ghost stories?" And I said, "About the house?" And he said, "Yeah, it used to be a fraternity house. We used to use it as our frat house. We leased it years ago, and about 25 years ago, and everyone who lived in this house had ghost stories."
They experienced the same thing, didn't they?
Well, I said, "Like what?" And he said, "You know, sometimes I'd be alone in the house. There were 5 or 6 guys living in the house." And I said, "What bedroom did you live in?" He lived in my bedroom. He said, "I would hear somebody on the stairs, and there'd be nobody in the house." And it just sent chills down my spine because I hear that. I said, "Oh, that happens to me all the time." But then, George, the scariest thing he said was, he said, "I never saw anything scary. I mean, nothing. I mean, about the spookiest thing that ever happened was one summer an extra guy stayed in the house. We didn't have enough bedrooms, so he put some folding doors up on the TV room downstairs." I said, "Oh, yeah, my library. I call it the library." He said, "Yeah, well, he put these folding doors up, and in the middle of the night, he woke up screaming because he said he could hear he said he could feel someone breathing on him." Well, of course, there's no way that this guy could have known that my son, 2.5, 3 years ago, quit sleeping in his bedroom because he complained that someone was breathing in
his
bedroom.
It's got to be the same. It's the same entity.
It's fair, and I don't think it's related to the Victor story that my son said. I mean, but because this has happened long before we went on that East Coast summer trip.
And I assume Victor drowned, didn't he?
Yeah, that's what I picked up on. But I've also found out that there was a death on the lawn some years ago. Somebody hit a tree and died. And I also found out that a family many years ago had a 15-year-old daughter who died in accidental shooting. Not here in the house, but you know, I guess they were living here at the time.
Let's find out from the guys why this is always around something tragic.
Sure.
You never hear friendly ghosts pop up, be they died a nice death, if one could die a nice death. But, I mean, why is it always tragic?
Because the ones that have died a nice death, they've moved on. That's
the
theory. That's the idea. the ones that you're seeing in your house, for example, or on the grounds of your house, these very well may be people who were solid, fleshy figures like the four figures sitting in this room right now.
Mm-hmm.
But when they die, they don't understand that they've died. They're so attached to living that they're confused about where they're at now.
They weren't prepared for death.
Yeah.
I always find that it has to do with emotion.
Mm-hmm.
And, tragedy, for example. Also, you hear a lot of romance, like we were talking about in the first half hour. There's a romantic side. The two lovers or something are embracing on the staircase, and then they tumble down, you know, and they do that over and over and over again. Well, that's a different kind of haunting.
Well, emotion is a big thing, though. I mean, that really has a lot to do with a lot, whether it be anger or love or any of these really strong emotions. They seem to leave a psychic imprint on the area that they may have occurred at, and that's where you start to see these occurrences.
Yeah, so I find emotion.
Oh yeah, I agree.
Has a lot to do with it. Emotion and tragedy. It's a recurring theme. Mm-hmm.